The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. Lucien has been captured by the Giudici and is being nursed back to health so that he can be lashed publicly before every member of the family, thus satisfying the resentment and hate of hundreds of years. His mother and friend, Griffo, had planned to help him escape, but the Giudici have learned of this plan, and it has been arranged that the mother will also be trapped. We find Marianne, all barriers down, confessing this plot in the walled-in rose garden of the Giudici mountain home.
I'll help you. I've no option, Lucien.
Oh, Marianne.
But I despise myself for doing this. I despise myself.
Oh, please don't talk like that.
But I do. I dishonor my family name. You're a de Franchi, our most hated enemy.
I'm not your enemy.
Your blood fights mine. But this time, well, you let me go free in the past. I'll even the score.
But my mother...
I know what can be done. Your mother will be waiting for you at midnight, down below the waterfall. I shall come to your room at 8, perhaps a little after. I will leave you outside, where there will be a horse to take you down the mountain trail.
What arrangements has your father made?
The old woman was to lead you down the mountain trail, but my father and brother were going to follow you. More of the family were to be posted on the other side of the river, so that you would be hemmed in. You, your mother, and your friends.
Instead, you let us go free. Oh, Marianne, I've found my true love. Someone who returns it. Someone who doesn't hate me as I feared.
You knew that I didn't hate you. You must have known.
Your actions never told me. And yet... Oh, yes. I knew you'd come to me sometime. Oh, if only I could put my arms around you now. If only
I... Let go my hand, sir. At any moment, the guard will be back. I sent him to my father on a trivial errand. If we were seen like this...
Oh, I want you, Marianne. I want to hold you close.
Don't talk to me like this. Everything between us must be forgotten, do you understand?
Oh, Marianne.
Everything. When you ride away this night, you must forget that I exist.
Oh, how can I forget the Giudici? How can I forget Marianne Giudici? When I'm told that she is my worst enemy. When instead I want to cry out in defense. I want to tell my mother, tell the world, that she is the loveliest creature that ever drew breath.
Don't, Lucien. You're making me cry.
Oh, Marianne, I mean it. And you know I mean it.
Don't look up. Not like that. Shh. Somebody comes. Somebody from the end of the rose garden. Perhaps it's the guard. Perhaps it's my... Oh, why, it's my uncle. Shh. And that will be our final triumph, do you understand, Pink? I will be glad when this garden and this house is free of the pestilence, which is you.
Marianne.
Oh, uncle, it is you. I have just been telling Viv how the Giudici treat their enemies.
Marianne, don't you realize it is dangerous for you to be here alone with him? Where is the guard?
I sent him on an errand to father out in the vineyard. Don't you worry, I have a dagger.
All the same,
and this can hardly walk, so he tells me. It is only the Giudici who stand up to wounds. We are strong in body as well as in heart. Oh, the guard has come back. There is no need to wait any longer. The sooner I am away from here, the better.
I will come with you. Marianne, you take this to heart, don't you?
And why not?
I think I can understand. Ever since you were a small child, the hate of the de Franchi has been instilled in you. And tonight...
Tonight, the de Franchi will be no more. Tonight.
A penny for your thoughts, Louis.
Amelie, of course.
Cheer up. It mightn't be as bad as you think.
Oh, it's not bad at all. Not as far as Amelie's concerned. She must have an enemy, an implacable enemy. Somebody who wants to do her harm. Somebody who wants to do me harm. Pierre, I'm head over heels in love with Amelie. The poets and the writers say that love's blind. Well, perhaps it is, perhaps it isn't. But you're an outsider. What do you think of Amelie Latouche? Well, don't shrug your shoulders. Tell me.
Well, Louis, it's a hard question. I'm not quite an outsider. I'm your friend. Amelie's a very beautiful girl. Perhaps one of the most beautiful in Paris. Her position, social position, is high. Her parents haven't much money, so they'd naturally be anxious that she marry money.
Are you suggesting that because I've been disinherited... Pierre, how can you say such a thing?
Oh, I've said nothing. You asked for a candid opinion. It's just a theory I have. Perhaps Amelie... Oh, sorry. Perhaps her parents have taken a hand. You must understand, Louis, that you're not the wealthy young man that you were 3 weeks ago.
But I have means.
Oh, yes, but Amelie flies high. She dresses in very good taste, but beyond her father's means at the moment, I should say. And perhaps her family might be encouraging a friendship with this Captain Renault.
Have you ever realized, Pierre, the power there is in a little white envelope? It can bring joy and happiness. It can bring stark tragedy, fears and doubt.
And it's brought doubt to you?
Doubt, yes. But not of Amelie. She'd never doubt me. Never. Nor I her. But there's someone who's jealous of us. Someone out there across the water who wants to separate us. Do you know what I'm going to do when I go back?
No. What, Lou?
I shall marry Amelie straight away, and that'll settle everything. That'll tie us together so that we'll be inseparable. And all the malicious tongues, the lying letters will come to naught.
So the ship ploughs its way through the choppy seas toward the coastline of France, leaving behind the Corsica of the De Franches with its tangle of mountains, its valleys, its basins, and its gorges and ravines, and tumbling granite hills. And as darkness closes in over the southern end of this island, lights wink out in the little village which surrounds the great house of the Gadice. First they were pale and watery, and then as the gloom increases, they become bright, dotted all over the hillside from the houses which rise tier above tier on the steep crags of the mountain. After supper, Marianne is brighter than usual, but there is a brittleness in her talk with her father and her uncle, who soon retire to their bedrooms. When the great living room is empty, Marianne slips silently along the great hall and down the steps to the terrace. Lucien de French's door is locked, but Marianne has possessed herself of a key. She thrusts the great iron key into the lock and turns it slowly, quietly, looking round her fearfully lest the noise be heard by the guard who sits on the wall opposite, his figure just a vague silhouette against the stars. Only two words are spoken in the darkness.
Come quickly.
A slender hand slips into his as she leads him along the darkened terrace toward the small gate in the wall.
This is the greatest danger, the gate. It's not very far from the guard.
You have the key?
Yes. It might take some time to turn without making a noise.
Creeping along the twisted path among the rose bushes, the two gain their objective, the gate. And when the key is inserted, there is 5 minutes of tension. As Marianne exerts the pressure just a little more, as she twists the key in its rusty, squeaky keyhole. But at last the job is done, almost noiselessly. And successfully, since the silhouette of the guard never moves. And soon they're outside the wall and creeping along the path. When at last an appreciable distance has been put between the two of them and the house, Lucien speaks.
We've made it.
Not quite. Should someone come to your room, the alarm will be raised.
Oh, I'm outside. They'll never get me now.
You seem to forget, Lucien, that you are weak.
But I can manage a horse. You said there was a horse.
Yes, we haven't far to go now. You understand clearly what you must do. Follow the trail.
Oh, how can I in this blackness? I don't know this country.
Leave that to the horse. I picked him specially. He knows every nook, every cranny. And if you keep his head away from the house, he'll take the trail to the waterfall. There your mother will be waiting. Oh, there.
The horse. Oh, Marianne, I can hardly believe it's true. Here I am free. And who has freed me? You. The one person who has been in my thoughts ever since that first night in the gorge.
Yes, Lucien.
It was moonlight then. Bright moonlight. And your face, as I always thought afterwards, was like a pale blue mist.
And tonight?
Tonight, it is a shadow. Something indefinable. But I can see your eyes. I can hear your voice. Soft, low, musical. Oh, Marianne.
Go now.
Before I go, there is something I want to do. to hold you in my arms, to press my lips to yours.
No.
Please. It may be the only memory I'll have.
The only memory. Yes, Lucien, you're right. It will be a treasured memory for me. Because after this, we shall never meet again.
Marianne, why is it like this? Two people so much in love. So much made for each other.
We are enemies, Lucien. Standing as we are, so close together. So close that I can feel your breath on my cheek. Your arms held tightly around me. We each dishonor our name. Don't you understand, my loved one, my darling?
Oh, Marianne, there must be a way out.
None, as you well know. This is goodbye. Kiss me and go quickly.
Oh, Marianne. Oh, don't cry, sweetheart. I'll pray every night of my life, that there'll be a way out.
Go. Go. Forget me. As I will pray that I will forget you. It must be like this.
Goodbye, my heart.
My heart. Yes. That is what I say, too. My heart is gone with Lucien. All that remains is a body. Skin and bone and blood. The blood of his enemy. The Kadichi.
Marianne stood, her eyes straining in the darkness as she heard the horse's hoofs fading into the night. What will be the outcome of this great love between the son and the daughter of implacable enemies? You will hear more of this in the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers.